They tremble at your name. I will trust in you. You will not be moved. The strongest walls will fall before the risen Lord. I will trust in you. You will not be moved. We believe you are and forever will be. Trust in you, you will not be moved. Every nation bows before King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I will trust in you, you will not be moved. We believe you are and forever will be. This battle belongs to you. Defender, strong tower, our great and matchless Savior. This battle belongs to you. Victorious forever, our great and matchless Savior. This battle belongs to you.
Good morning, everyone. All right, welcome. It's Sunday again, once again. I love this time of year, though, because it's a time when everybody's kids are wrapping up school and some are coming back from college, and it's always an exciting time for everybody. So welcome to Haven Community Church. If you guys are new today, you know, you guys are in for a treat. I mean, I never know what to expect here. Even though I know Jack personally, I never know what he's going to do. You know, I see we got our cast of characters up front. We got our magician. We got Mario. Is it Halloween already? Or I don't know. You guys are confusing me this morning.
All right, let's get on up. Everybody stand up if you're able. We're going to worship the Lord.
To everlasting. You are God. From everlasting to everlasting. Unchanged by all the vanities of man. And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains. Times of turbulence, adopting those who call upon your name, and every generation joins in songs of grateful praise. You are, you are, you are. Thank you.
Jesus' blood and righteousness.
trust the sweetest friend, but only trust in Jesus.
thank you for your presence here, and you are the cornerstone. We just praise you for who you are in our lives. And God, we just, as we talked last week about worship, let us live it. Let us live it out. Not just here, but God, each and every day. May we shout it from the rooftops. May we give praise to you in ways that people have never heard, that they look at us like we are completely nuts, and that's awesome. And so we are fools for Christ, the gospel says, and let us be fools for Christ. We love you, Lord. Fill our hearts, fill our lives, do what you will, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want you to just greet everybody today because we're going to celebrate communion in a bit, so just say hello to those around you. Doing some things a little bit different today, so we're going to celebrate communion here. After communion today, we will go ahead and dismiss our children for our Sunday school Shoreline ministry after that, but we just want to celebrate communion today as we look here. Communion is, and it's fitting that God works everything out, because originally we had a different kind of schedule, and God shifted and moved that. And today, the topic that we're going to talk about is the churchy word. You ready for your churchy word of the day? It's fellowship, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. And koinonia is the term for fellowship and connection through Christ. So we are one with each other because we are one with Christ. And so what a great way that God had on the schedule that we would celebrate, communion together. So what we need to recognize is on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he was sitting around and doing something that had been done from the time of Moses, with a little bit of a gap in there because the people had kind of forgot to do what they were supposed to do. And he went ahead, he took the bread that was there, he gave thanks to God that was in the Seder meal discussion. It was, "Blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam," if that makes you feel good. But that's what it was. And then he broke it, as the scripture says, and he gave it to his disciples. They thought they were going to do a normal liturgy that had been done for years. This time he changed it a little bit. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after, so many people believe that at that point, in the Seder meal, the broken part is called the afrikamen, which actually means "I have come." And in the history, they would take it and they would break a piece and they'd hide it, and then the youngest in the group would go find it. Now, I don't know whether they made John go find it or not, but that was there. There's several different cups in the Seder meal, but it says after the supper was over. And so Jesus, after the supper was over, Jesus took the cup once again, and once again he gave thanks to God the same way, very much so, that he gave to the bread. But this time he said, "Thank you for the fruit of the vine, that we may have drink." And again, he began to pass it around to his disciples, which, if anybody has ever been part of a Seder meal, there's a lot of dunking and eating and passing and symbolism. And as he began to pass that around to his disciples, once again he changed it. And he said, "Time out, guys. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so what we recognize is Jesus wanted us to remember a couple things here. It's interesting that many people believe, and some of you have heard this before from me, but it's always a good reminder, because that's what communion is. It's a great reminder of what Christ has done. It's a reminder of what he's doing now. And it's also a symbolism that in the future we're going to feast at his heavenly banquet table. I can't wait for that. You know, who wants smorgasbord and you don't gain a pound? Hallelujah. I can't wait for that, you know. Down here, I gain weight. I say I'm just adding a wing on the temple of the Holy Spirit, so it works. But in this way, what he says here is simply this. He says, "This is my body." Let's not lose that in the years of tradition and the fact that Jesus gave his life. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down freely.
so that he could reconnect, not for anything he did, but for what you and I did, for all those before us, to reconnect us to the Father. We just sang about the Father's love. We had no connection in that because sin broke us from that. Jesus became sin on the cross, nailed our sins to the cross, and he became the bridge to Jesus. Nobody can get to God. Nobody can get there except through him. And so, Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us in the brokenness of your body, in the shedding of your blood upon a cross. We look at these that we understand that in this mystery of faith that your presence meets us in this act. So God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts and on each of us. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, set apart and redeemed by his precious blood. Amen. There's no mistake that that last cup probably was the cup of redemption, telling us that Jesus came to redeem us. He came to, you can put all of Jesus in one thing. He loved you so much that he came to connect you back to your daddy. That's what it's all about. All right. Now, there's some things that we do in communion. In communion, in the tradition, like we as people love to put different rules and things to things, but here's what we learn from the tradition that I grew up in that I also believe for people. It's open communion. This is the Lord's table, not mine. It's the Lord's table. But there are some things that we need to examine in ourselves. We have to examine that is there some, I'm going to use the S word here, sin, okay? Is there something that, and sin just means this. Sin carries a lot of weight with it, right? But all it means is that you just missed the mark of what God intended. So if anybody is breathing, check the pulse of the person next to you. That means that you have sinned because you missed the mark of what God intended for you. All right? So we've all done that. So that means we're all included in this. But do we want to repent of that? Do we want to get, repent means to turn and go the opposite way about faith. Do we want to go away from that? So yes. Are there people in our lives that we don't live with very well, that we don't just don't mess with very well? Anybody? Anybody got one or two, 10, 15? Maybe you're that person nobody messes with. All right, well, if that's who you are, Jesus said, I came to take care of that. And like the centurion who said, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe that sometimes, God, I have loved all I can. Help my unlovingness to others, and God will make a way. And do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said that communion can be a converting sacrament, that you can actually come to faith through Christ. And so I'm going to ask the servers and the praise team to come up. We're going to serve them first. Okay. We in the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Becky, the body of Christ given for you. Keith, the body of Christ given for you. Justin, the body of Christ given for you. Wes, the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Jim, the body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken and given for you. The body of Christ broken and given for you. And the body of Christ broken and given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, yes. The blood of Christ poured out. Yes. The blood of Christ shed for you. Our Lord's blood shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you, Jim. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Our Lord's blood shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. A couple of things before we begin. How we're going to do this, they're going to be in the middle. You guys can step over this way if you would. So we have three serving areas. What we're going to ask is that you come from the back on this side down this way, and then you can come from the back on this side and come down this way and the back on that side and come down that way. We also, if you need gluten-free, it's right here. We try to take care of everybody's needs because we want to make sure that people can go ahead and connect if they have those issues. All right? So what I'm going to just say is come. This is open for you. If you need time to just be still before God or whatever, this is open for you with those three things. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to get rid of that part where you missed the mark? And do you want to live at peace with those people in your lives that you may not live at peace with? Very well. If that's for you, this is open for anybody. I don't care what your denomination is. Guess what? One thing in heaven, there's no denominations. It's all one body. Okay, so here's the table, Lord. Please stand. Please come.
From wherever you've been, come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. So lay down your burden. Sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary and rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame.
As you are.
So as people who have partaken in this, I think it's all, I love the imagery as well that Jesus used as the rest of the elements are coming back up, is the fact that if I had a handful of grapes up here, I don't think all of us would take a nibble and go and begin to pass it around. In order to have the grape juice or the wine, whatever part you're back from, whatever denomination you stand, it has to be pressed out of itself to be put together. It's still there, but it meets the needs of many if it's put together. Same thing with grain and wheat. When it's pressed down, it's put together in order to make bread. And so that's how I look at us as the church. We're individuals, and the scripture says that we are one body, many parts. And so that means we all have many different ways, many different gifts and talents that are all pressed together to make the church. So God, just as we conclude this part of communion today, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us throughout life. And we thank you for your Son who makes all things possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So if your children have not yet gone, they can head to Sunday school now, and there'll be somebody out there helping out. And we're going to do some announcements. All right, great to see everybody here today. We have several announcements that I'm going to rip through so that we can continue on with our worship here today, now that our hearts and minds are prepared for what God has for us here today. There's a Sunday school meeting, staff meeting after church today, so you can look for that. The Chain to Haiti, where are we at, John? Drum roll. Yay, all right. All right, so we're past Richmond, and we're headed to Raleigh. Okay, so we're getting there. So again, for those of you who are visiting with us the first time, our sister church is in Haiti, and we are headed down there in August for a week to do some really cool things that we're working on. Any bit of support that you can give to the chain that goes around here, we're trying to get all the way around and all the way back. And so it's $10 a chain. You can sponsor as many of those as you would like, and that goes to our whole group. How many are we taking? Roughly about 30 people that are going to be going to Haiti. So thank you. So we want to go ahead and make sure we all get there. Okay, so thank you for all your support. The Lua LaRoe fundraiser last week, fundraiser raised $400 for the mission trip. So that helps even more. So thank you. And you guys bought, so I don't have to wear them up here at church, and you're all very thankful for that. Community Kitchen, thank you. There were 60 people that were served at the Elkton Community Kitchen, and so we're very, very, very thankful about that as well. The next Parish Foundation dinner is on May the 20th. Is that correct? Okay, next week. So any opportunities? There's a few. No, not next week, a couple weeks. You're making it go quick. The 20th. Ooh, scared me. Okay, so we have several. Yes. Okay. Okay, from Community Kitchen, anybody who gave crock pots and other kinds of things, they're meeting right out here in the lobby if you have them, or else they'll go to the highest bidder. Okay? I know, go ahead, Dave and Bob, I know you're going to share something real quick about the Christmas in April. And so we had that happen last weekend. Isn't that correct? All right, so here you go. There you go.
I'm a teacher. I don't know if I need that.
Yes, you do. So Becky's mic.
Please, go ahead. Go ahead and start.
All right, guys. For those who don't know us, my name is Dave Hollis. This is Bob Hoffman. 8 days ago, we were able to take place in an event called Christmas in April. For those who don't know what that is, what we were basically able to do is to take somebody who had some sort of need, whether it was maybe a disability or maybe a financial need. And in the pictures you're seeing here, what we were able to do for this particular lady was we were able to put railing around her porch and down her sidewalk so she was able to get in and out of her house a little more safely because, if I remember right, she had a physical disability, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so what we were basically just trying to do is to help out our local community through basically the service organization called Christmas in April again. And what I would really like to do is if we can have, we had 15, 16 volunteers?
Yes.
15 or 16 volunteers just from this church alone to help out with three different projects. And if we can, could I have the people that did help out last Saturday, if you guys can stand up for just a second?
If you're here.
If you would, please. And Mike, where are you at? Make sure, because we didn't get pictures. Mike and Schaefer went with the United Methodist Church to help them out with their grouping, and we had a couple other smaller projects we doled people out to. So
yeah.
We worked out very well.
Yeah, so... So the people you see standing here, they just did a phenomenal job. There were several people that asked me how things went, and I couldn't have had a smoother crew working, doing these projects. And, I mean, just unbelievable. And then at the end, if you see the last picture that's up here, eventually here, there was this lady. She was just absolutely so grateful. You can see her at the top of the picture there. She would not let us leave until she gave each and every one of us a hug. She was that grateful. And so it was just an awesome experience.
A hug and a big God bless from the family. They were most grateful. And again, what Dave alluded to, there's a little bit of both either a physical need and or an economical need. In this case, we helped out in both. And it's a great avenue for anybody who wants to help in our local community. We're going to try to continue on with this as we move forward. And we'll have a little more information about a project Dave and I are working on in the future to do this on more of a year-round basis, but more to come on that at a future
awesome.
Time.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, Christmas in April, when we were talking to the leadership, they still had five jobs through the community that were not fulfilled by local volunteers. And so what we want to try to do is see if we can maybe get more people involved and possibly do more things like this in the future. But I also want to mention is... if you're kind of scared about volunteering, you're like, oh, well, I can't run a saw, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, I teach construction for a living to high schoolers, so trust me, we can help you out. All right, so don't be afraid about volunteering. And again, just thank you to those who did help out. It was awesome. So thank you very much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's really cool is that is that you bring people together. I don't think you guys didn't know each other before you started attending here, right?
Right.
So God has put people together who are gifted and have a heart for that, and it's really cool to see when God touches someone's heart. I can tell you, you do not want me building anything at your house, unless you want it bad and you want Dave and Bob to come back. But it's great that people have a giftedness to go ahead and do that and a heart to do it. And so we're excited to see how God is going to use their heart and their needs to go ahead and further that ministry, not only one day, but throughout the year. So that's exciting. So thank you all for that. There's a town meeting on mental health with a keynote speaker, Mark Comrade, How to Convince Someone to Get Help, on Saturday, May 19th, 2018, from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Cecil County Health Department. So they ask that we go ahead and share that, as May is Mental Health Awareness Month. All right, so we have those. There are flyers that are in the lobby if you would like to go ahead and have more information about that. We have several different prayer requests today. Joe Fleming asked for prayers for Gary and Liz Ashby. Just for them in general. For Rig asked for prayers for Sarah, his wife Sarah, who had a fall yesterday and has an abrasion, a scrape on the scalp. So we have Laura and John White for Wes Pinder and family. Wes's father was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So we want to lift Wes and the entire family up there, and also for Liz and Gary. The Steckers have several. Kim Cantler Jenkins, I know Kim because I went to school with her, in the passing of her 25-year-old son. We want to ask for prayers for Nicholas Graham, who's had some addiction and legal issues and has been sentenced to 3 years, so we want to go ahead and lift him in prayers. For Brenda and Dennis Fincham, whose house burnt down last, and they lost absolutely everything. For Tim Smith, who has a neuromuscular disease, we want to ask for God to intervene and bring prayer for recovery there. And then Daniel's here today. Robin asked for prayers. Praise to God for unanswered prayers for Daniel, and we're glad that God saw the way in the heart and life, and welcome. We're glad that you're here. There's also some other prayers. I see a new college graduate over there, right? Emily graduated, so congratulations. Also, you guys remember Sarah Greer? She just graduated, so we're excited about that as well. From some of our youngins who started off that are getting to be the old ones now, and they're going to be taking care of us in years going, right? Here we go. So congratulations, right? Anybody else with any kind of joys or anything we need to celebrate? Okay, well, let's continue in our worship. Let's just go to God now as we continue to honor God through God's tithe and our offerings. Jesus, we come to you today and just recognize that you are so awesome and that there's so much going on in life, and yet, God, you are so ever-present. We want to lift up all those prayer requests that we have, that we lifted up today. And just thank you once again for those that you're working in already, for those that we are lifting up for the first time. God, just hear our prayer for the joys that we have of just your Holy Spirit and your answering of prayers. Let us not forget to just thank you for answered prayers. And God, for the unspoken ones that you know and maybe some of us know, we just know that you're gonna intervene in some way there. So, Lord, during the remainder of the service, we give it to you as now we take time to receive your tithe and our offerings. And you've given us so much, and we're so grateful. This church has been in existence now, as we celebrated several weeks ago, for 10 years. And, God, it's not here for us. It's not here for me to say, look at me. It's not for any of us to perform. We perform for an audience of one, and we want to bring glory and praise to you, and that's all we're here for. And so, God, help us do that through the goodness of your people, whether it's the many ministries that we do or whether it's just something else that you have set for us to do. God, I thank you for their giving back of their blessings. So, God, right now we ask for your Holy Spirit to be on these gifts and the giver and the tither, and just for your kingdom here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hello. All right. Let's stand one last time as we worship God.
Glorious day.
glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Good morning. Scripture this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
We're continuing, and I believe it's the fifth week. It's hard to believe it's the fifth week already of our series Fresh Air, which is based off of the gospel. But we also are doing a church-wide group study on Fresh Air, the book by Chris Hodges. It's really good, and hopefully you're getting some newness in your faith, some fresh air. We originally talked about this opening up the first week that in our lives sometimes it gets a little stale, right? You have anything in your life that just kind of gets, all right. And it's no different in our own individual faith journey that we have those things. We talked about the doldrums, which is actually a place near the equator where ships used to get into before motor power, and they actually just used to be stuck in there and die. And many of us are like that in our own lives and even in our faith when we talk about fresh air. Now, today we had communion, so we're going a little bit longer than we usually would, but that's all right. Hang in here. I'll get you to the end here, and we'll hear what God has to say to us this week. Our theme verse for this week and for the series has been, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you a choice." Remember, that was the first week. A choice between what? Life and death. Between life and death, and between blessings and curses. And then now you should choose what? Life. Right. Anybody say death? No. Okay. So that's what we want to do. We want to choose life in this. Now, today's topic, I can tell you, can, if we really apply it, can give you a good amount of wind in your sails, using this boating metaphor as we look. And I share with you at communion that the term, the biblical term, is called fellowship. Fellowship. So today's theme verse, we're going to look at that what we really need, what fellowship means, is that there's a few people in our lives that love you and confide in you and that are there for you no matter what you do. So let's look at our theme verse for the day, which comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And he says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Now, you may say, well, Jack, you're talking to the wrong people, because I'm here, others aren't. Somebody online says, I'm here, I'm watching online, but I'm not there. It's not just church, it's about the smaller, the larger group, and also the smaller group. Imagine if our worship team decided to give up the habit of meeting together on Wednesday nights. I can tell you it would be brutal when we got here, but we spend time together in doing that. So it says, meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us do what? Encourage one another. It actually means to spur on, you know, to spur on, and all the more as the day, pretty interesting that we did the glorious day, because that's the day we're talking about when Jesus returns. That day, what they're saying, what they were saying even then, that we can even see more, is that it is more difficult as the day of Christ's return gets closer, it gets more and more difficult for us to gather together. And the closer we have gotten to that day, whether it's next week, tomorrow, or whether it's a million years from now, it is more and more difficult. Anybody have some hectic schedules that makes it more difficult to do those things that you want to do? Of course. So there we go. So life can be extremely difficult, as many of you know. And so my question to you is this: why do we do it all alone? Why do we try to do it all alone? There's a part of us that thinks that there's a strength in doing things alone. For instance, but really a lot of us don't want to be alone. But we think that there's a strength. I can do it myself. I'll do it myself. And there's a story about a man who was single, and he had a beautiful divorced neighbor. And one day he heard a knock at the door, and he was shocked to see this beautiful divorced neighbor next door. And she said to him, she says, excuse me, I feel so lonely, I can't stand it. I want to go out tonight and throw caution to the wind and truly enjoy my life. She said, are you free? And he went, yes. She goes, great, what time should I have my kids over so you can watch them? Be careful what you ask for. Some people just want to live life alone. So why do we try to live life alone at so many times in our walk? Well, I want to share with you a story, an account from Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that shares exactly that. It shares someone, an account about someone who tried to live life alone. And look what it says here. There was a man who was what? All alone. He had neither son nor brother. Now, that's just not talking about biologically. It's that he had no one close to him, that he called it. There was no end to his toil, so he was a workaholic. Okay? He tried to substitute the relationships for work. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. In other words, he had worked so hard and he had it, but he had nobody to share it with. He had nobody in life to deal with. And all those things that he tried to substitute for a relationship weren't there, and he was left wanting. So why are we alone? Why do we try to do life alone? There's two things that I believe that we try to do life alone. And I want to share some of those before we get into some other things. Why do we do them alone? I think there are some that are reasons. There are valid reasons why we try to do this thing called life alone. And then I think there are excuses as well there. And I think sometimes it's a mix of both. We make the excuses and try to make them reasons because our brains tend to do that. So the first thing is this. I'm going to give you a quick list and we'll move on. Naivete. Anybody? Well, you're naive. Naivete. Don't worry. I got it up here for you to spell it. Okay? I use spell check. Some of us just don't know better. Some of us just think that, yeah, that we have no idea that we're geared to do life with other people. We think that we are just supposed to be tough, that part of making it through life is suck it up. I had a friend of mine who was a pastor, and I told him, I said, I don't know whether people either love you or hate you, and depending on the moment, I don't know where I stand in that group. Because as a person, like you'd say something, you'd be pouring out your heart, and he'd go, suck it up. And I'd be like, that is so cruel. And I said, why do you say that? He goes, because some people need to suck it up in life. That's what he'd say. Now, there is some truth to that, but we were made to do life together. We were made to do life together. I heard a great story about Muhammad Ali. Anybody know Muhammad Ali? Okay. Muhammad Ali was on an airplane one time. And it was, you know, it was at the peak of his stardom. And he's on an airplane. And it came on, please buckle your seatbelts. And at that time, the flight attendant came by. And she said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, Mr. Ali. We need you to buckle your seatbelts. And he looked at her. And you know how Ali always had that kind of statements? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she looked at him and said, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Buckle your seatbelt. So, isn't that great? That's a great story. And it's classic Ali as well in there. Many of us have that Ali feeling when we approach life. I'm Superman. I can do this. Keep in mind, Superman also had kryptonite. And so he always needed somebody else to come remove the kryptonite. We all need somebody else. So that's the first thing. We may not know, or we may just assume that we were told to just do it and be Superman. The next thing that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, because I could spend years on, is our own individual temperament. You may say, well, Jack, I'm an introvert. I'm actually an introvert. I don't like meeting new people. That's just the way I am. How many of you have ever said that's just the way you are? Okay. I remember saying that one time in a chaplaincy meeting when I was doing that for grad school, and I said, well, that's just the way I am. And the leader at the time said, well, why are you that way? And I was like, don't start messing. You know, I would have never asked that question of myself if I hadn't had somebody else there to say, well, Jack, why are you that way? One of the greatest things about counseling is that they constantly pick and figure out why you're adapting to what you do, because we're all messed up. Look at the person next to you and say, you're messed up. And then tell them, and so am I. Welcome to church. Okay. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you still need others. You still need others. Number three, and this is a big one. Fear. Fear. Many of us think, like, if we're going to go to a small group, say we're going to go to one of our small groups, and you go ahead and you get ready to go, and then you say, you don't know what's going to happen. So you look at the list, and then you maybe make contact, and you're like, when you make contact, you know how you make contact with somebody, whether it's you talk to them for the first time, they say, oh, come to my house, and you're thinking, I don't want to be anywhere around you. You know right away. Or you may be like, okay, I'll try this thing out. So you get to that. Then you get in your car, and you're headed on the directions, and you're like in that mixture of, I don't know where I want to go. You're kind of afraid that when you get to the door, you're going to knock on the door, and they're all going to be sitting around like, with eyes glowing, going, come in, welcome to the house. And they'll put you in a chair in the middle, and they'll do some chant around you. Ah, yeah, hallelujah. And they'll lay hands on you and scare the stuffing out of you. And you're so afraid what will happen. And that if you leave, will you talk, I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy. But don't worry about that. That only happens the third weekend. So we don't do that. But we have those fears, don't we? We don't know what to expect. We're afraid that we're gonna end up, and it's gonna be like, hello, my name's Jack, and I'm a backslidden Christian. You know, we're gonna go through those manners as well. But you know, at times what I find out is people who are involved in small groups, and many of you are looking around this room that have been part of a disciple Bible study or a small group series or a worship team or a Sunday school or a mission trip, you have grown closer together by doing life together. Am I right? And so there is a strength in that. And I know many of you have gone through the most tragic and difficult things in life, and there have been those people that surrounded you the most during those times because they love you. I love the fact that before I even find out that the small group has already loved on people before I get there. And they're like, don't worry about this, Jack. I got it, right? I love that. I love that part of the church. It's like these three men who were part of a small group, and they were so afraid of sharing what was personally in their heart and lives. But finally, after several groups, this one man said, all right, I'm going to do this. We've been together for several weeks now, and I just want to share with you a secret that I have that I need to get it out because I need help. And he said, I have an extreme addiction to lust and pornography. It happens all the time, and I just need to share with someone so I can be held accountable. The next man was sitting there, and he said, well, I'm moved by what you said, and I just want to share with you that I have an addiction to gambling. I have actually taken our, I've spent through our savings, I've remortgaged our house, and I've spent it all on races and everything else, and it's horrific. My family's falling apart by this. And the third man looked at them and said, well, I got to tell you, since you guys are being honest, I want to be honest too. I have an addiction to gossip, and I cannot wait to get out of here tonight. All right. Some of us are afraid that that person is in our small group. Okay, some of us are very afraid of that. But one of the things that we love to say is this is a small group, and it's like Vegas. What happens there stays there. And we need people to go ahead and have that. So that's fear. Another one that's very valid is past experiences. We are broken. We are broken people. We are a combination of brokenness, that somebody in our lives have hurt us, that somebody in our life has left scars upon our hearts. And so we put this wall around our hearts and our lives and say, I'm not letting anybody else in. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a secret that's not really a secret, but I want to share with you. That brokenness, that hurt, that everything that happened to you, I'm going to tell you it's not on accident. It is intentional, because there is nothing more than Satan would love to do than to break your heart and to keep you away from the benefit of fellowship in the body of Christ. It's intentional that he wants to have you hurt and broken from that time, from day in and day out. What we need to do is to get back to that and get healing and have good relationships in our lives. Number five, which I could do a whole message series on, and maybe will sometime, is busyness. Busyness. This is a huge one, busyness. Could be the biggest thing that keeps us from fellowship. When you ask people, hey, we're having this on such and so a night. I'd love to, but I promise that I have to do thus and so. I'd love to, but my kids are doing this. I'd love to. How many have ever heard somebody say that to you? Okay, I'd love to, but. There's always that but in there that happens there. So many of us are dealing with the busyness of life that is keeping us from the blessings that God has for us and the greatness that he intended for you to have. And so we're on guard, and we have this in the midst of our lives. You see, what we do, what we've become, is we let the world set the agenda for us. I was talking with some, and we do that outside the church, and we also do that inside the church. One of the main things that I am big on as a pastor is I will go to people, and I have done that, and some of you have heard me say this, is, whoa, slow down. I know you love doing this, but hey, you can't do everything. You're going to burn out. You're going to burn out. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. I love social media, but I guess there's also this thing that social media gives us a false sense of connection. Like we think because we know, we have knowledge about people, that we have an intimate connection. We don't have an intimate connection. It's faulty. It's a faulty one that we have here. The pastor and speaker, Charles Swindoll, had a great statement, and he said this. He said, nobody is a team. Each one is a player. But take away one player, and the game is forfeited. You guessed it. We need each other. You need someone, and someone needs you. Isolated islands, we're not. To make this thing called life work, we gotta lean and support. We relate and respond and give and take and confess and forgive and reach out and embrace and release and rely, especially in God's family. And then he says this, since none of us is a whole, independent, self-sufficient, super capable, all-powerful hotshot, let's quit acting like we are. Life's lonely enough without our playing that silly role. The game's over. Let's link up and connect. Boy, does that have a lot of weight to it as well. Now, I just turned last month 47. I know that's a shock. Some of you think I look 27. But I just turned 47. And back in the 80s, the coolest generation to grow up in, right, Holla? Okay, there we go. For me. There was a popular show on TV. And I want to play this song for you to see if you know it.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
You got it, Chris.
Taking a break from all your worries. Sure.
How many remember this?
Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came.
People are singing, you're old. Okay, just to let you know. Welcome to the club.
All right.
This song, thank you. This song is from the show Cheers, which was on Must See TV on Thursday nights, right? There you go. You got it, Chris. And so you had that. And it was a show, for those of you who are under the age of 45, it was a show about a bar in Boston named Cheers. And they were kind of like a bunch of misfits that had formed a family, right? It was owned by a guy who didn't even drink because he had come through alcoholism. He was a former relief pitcher, Sam Mayday Malone. And they just kind of found this commonality in each other. You had somebody who would walk in every day and they'd say, Norm! And he'd say, how you doing, Mr. Peterson? And they'd go through. There was a family connection, even though they were kind of like this motley group of people that found each other. And so it was really interesting to see how these people found each other. And the words to the song is even more important than the show. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Anybody believe that? Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? How many? How many have dreamed about getting away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everyone knows your name. Sometimes we want to do that, and when I think of this thing about Cheers, I think the sad thing is that the show was about a bar in Boston rather than the Church of Jesus Christ, where we can come together. We've played far too many games in the church, and our lives are falling apart, and we say, how are you? I'm fine. And we move on, rather than be in a place where we know we have problems together, and we can come together as the body of Christ and bring healing. We like to put those previous things up that I shared about. In this. And that's why, look at what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Look what it says is, I want you to read this with me, okay? Here we go. Since we are one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Look at the person next to you and say, you need me. And then you look at your second choice, because there's always a second choice, and say, and I need you. If there's anybody single, you might have got a date today. Who knows, all right? You need me. You need me. There is, there's an interesting personality study. Anybody ever heard of the DISC personality study? The DISC personality study. And what it does, it looks at aspects of a person's life. And it says, you know, there are a lot of our areas of our lives that we have that are a part of us, but they just don't get revealed. And so I want to share with you four of these areas. There's going to be arena, mask, blind spots, and potential. So we're going to look at these very quickly in the time that we have left today. And that's what I got. Okay, you ready? Everybody ready? Here we go. So the first one is arena, is the arena. The arena, and the best way to say this is I know and you know. Like if this is your first time here today, and this is the first time you're seeing me here or whatever, you know some things already about me. Right? Just by the public persona that I've given. You know that I'm a very young 47. You know that I like Cheers and you know that I like these kind of things. You know some of that stuff, right? You may hear me talk about my kids, so you assume, oh, he's got children. Right? You know that we've been here for 10 years. So there's some things that you know and I know. It's the public me. But there's a lot more in here that you aren't gonna know because I ain't telling you. All right? So you're not gonna get that in the public me, but we all have this arena. And so when it comes to the arena part of our lives, here's what you need. You say, and so I want to tell you, here's what you need in this. I need people who really know me. I need some people in my life who don't just know the arena jack. Because we all put on this kind of like, yeah, here I am out in public, but there's always this private side of ourselves as well. I need someone with me who knows me, someone to stand with me and to care for me when I'm down, and also just isn't in with me for the events around my life, but really, really knows me. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the man's spirit within him? Like, for instance, I can't see what's going on in your mind. You guys should be very glad you don't see what's going on in my mind because it's a very demented, dark place, just to let you know. All right? So we have that. Like, we think we know what people have said, and that causes all kinds of other issues. But we need people that are going to walk through life with us. We don't just need arena people. It's one of the reasons why many of the people who I've seen have been the biggest musicians and stars have also been the loneliest people in the world. I remember at a time when I was going through some struggles when I went to West Virginia early on. And I remember standing in the basketball arena there with thousands of people and feeling completely alone at that moment. I had friends and I had people in my life, but have you ever been in a place filled with people and just felt alone? Some of the people who are in the arena situation are some of the loneliest people in life. So we need people who know me. Number two, mask. Mask. Anybody ever put on a mask? Okay. When you put on a mask, what does it do? Covers your face. You don't have a clue what's underneath that face. So what we're saying here is, I know, but you don't know. There is stuff about Jack Cohen that I know, that you don't know, that may even my wife and kids and others don't know, because I keep it to myself, right? Everybody with me? We have some things that we totally keep to ourselves, and that is dangerous. I'm going to tell you, if you have secrets, it is a dangerous place to live. Because often with secrets, we tend to convince ourselves that we can handle these things on our own, and it often leads to trouble. So what do I need? I need people to share my secrets, but I need people who will protect me. I need people who will protect me in life. And this is what the strength of small group ministry is. There are people that I can share stuff with in my life that we have. Now, some of us have been together, like Wayne and I have been doing praise and worship for probably years, probably at least 16, 17 years, if not more. And so we've been doing it together. So there's things that we have spent time together that we can say and we can do, that if you show up one day and you hear us saying and do that to each other, you say, oh my gosh, these are the rudest people I've ever met in my life. And they're leading worship. That's just, we've spent time together. We have a right to do that because we're brothers and we spent time. Others in the praise team who've been part of this for years, we've had our ups and downs. I've been part of small group ministry where people really hold you accountable. Did he say that word in church? Yes, I believe accountability is the greatest thing that we can have. And we need that. We need people in our life to share. It should be a wonderful expression that if I'm struggling, I can say anything to anyone. You need somebody in your life that you can share your secrets. Even if you're not into this church thing, I'm going to tell you, if you have a secret, you are headed for trouble. It's not a matter of if you'll crash, it's a matter of when. Because you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody to hold you accountable. You need somebody to be there, whether it be a professional counselor or somebody else that you trust in life. You need that person. And sometimes the people who are too close to you are too close to you to have that secret in life. You need to figure that out. Look at what Paul said about masks. He says in 2 Corinthians, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. You know what's very interesting? You can get nothing on me if I were to head and say, boom, here it is. Have you ever seen where people try to find something on someone and yet they just throw it out there? And if it's thrown out there, what do you do with it? You don't know what to do with it. We live in a world where we want to cover up and we want to cover up and we want to cover up. You see, there's an interesting expression. We have this whole kind of idea, and I've had people say it to me. You know, my sins are my sins. What I deal with is what I deal with, and I confess it to God, and I'm forgiven. Correct. But do you also know that you are supposed to confess to each other? Let's look at this verse from Scripture here. It says in James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Just imagine if I said, next week we're going to go ahead and we're going to confess all our sins to each other in public form. We bring a picnic lunch. We're going to be here for a while. I guarantee you the attendance goes, shoom. Nobody wants to share those things. I'm not saying do it here. I'm saying find that person or persons in your life that you can fight in and you can do life together with in this way. It gets us free in life. You see, 1 John 1:19 says, confess your sins to God and you will be forgiven. I can't forgive you of your sins, but what I can do is hold you accountable and say, how's life happening? How's it going? How you doing? I can encourage you in the midst of that. Number three, everybody good? Number three, here we go. Blind spots. Best way to say this is I don't know them, but you do. Have you ever seen the people in life that are like some of the most narcissistic, nasty people in life? Anybody know those people? And they don't see it? Have you ever known people that don't see? You ever known people that don't see where they're rude? And they're like, I don't know why people are acting that way to me. You need people in your life to say, because you're a jerk. Because I don't even like being around you. I love you, but I don't like being around you. We need those people in life. And you know what usually happens when you share with someone about their life's not in gear? They get mad with you. We need people in our lives that tell us the truth. You need people in your life to tell you the truth. So I need people who will be honest with me. You see, if you love me and I love you and we spent time together, I've given you the right to say some things. I may not like it, but if it's done in love, it's not like you're just a jerk, blah, 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 go away. It's to help us be stronger and to grow in life. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 27. Faithful, everybody say faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, sometimes what we need to hear is someone in our life saying, Jack, you're messing up. You need to get your stuff straight. And it's going to hurt to hear it, but it's right. I'm taken back to David in the scripture where David sent Bathsheba, had slept with Bathsheba, and they had a kid. She was pregnant, and he brought her husband home from the front, from the war, and wanted to pass it off, and he wouldn't because he was an honorable man while his troops were out there. So David decided, okay, well, I'll send him to the front line so he'd be killed, and then he would be a nice king and take her as his wife. That's a nice guy, isn't it? David, Goliath, Bible. Sounds like a good guy. Wouldn't you want him as your pastor? And yet David lived life and said, everything's good. Nobody knows my secret. Until one day a prophet came in, told a story about a man who had a little tiny lamb and went and stayed at the house of a... He loved the lamb. He hugged it and loved it. And he went and stayed at the house of the man who had all these sheep. And it came time for dinner, and the man who had all these sheep went ahead and took the little lamb from the man and cooked it up for dinner. David rose in anger and frustration and said, that man should be killed. That man should have this. And Nathan the prophet turns to him and says, no, you are that man. And David went, whoa. I said, David wept and felt convicted to the heart about what he had done. We need Nathans in our lives. We need those prophets to help us in life. Last one. You ready for the last one? Potential. I don't know, and you don't know. I don't know, and you don't know. And you're like, okay, Jack, well, what do? Wander around till we fall in it? No, God knows. God knows. God knows your potential. Inside each person is a potential that if we connect to God and we connect in community of believers, that it will grow. It'll grow and be strong. God knows, and we will never reach our potential apart from God, and we will never reach our potential alone. You see, teams become close. There's a great Zambian proverb, which is in chapter 9 of your book, that says, when you run alone, you run faster, but when you run together, you run further. A lot of times, just running fast does not get us anything but quickly exhausted. When we run as a team throughout this thing of life, we can go ahead and make it. So what do I need? I need people who will grow me. I need people that will help me. In other words, I need people who are fertilizer in my life is what I need. You can take that for whatever else you want. But I got to tell you, I need those people in my life. They're going to help me grow. They're going to water me. They're going to nourish me. They're going to be after me. I need those people in my life. In Proverbs 27:7, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another person. We need each other. We are never, ever going to be who God created us to be if we do not spend time with each other. There are small groups, and I know you're like a little weirded out about what will happen if you go to them. That's okay. God has a niche for you, and we want to gather you together. I don't want to create a small group masterpiece and say, oh, look, we have small groups. I want small groups that affect your heart and your life and connect people to each other. That's all I want. Debbie is the leader of our small group ministry here, and we do these things not so that I have to read a book a couple times a year and share that with you and try to get you to read it. I do it because I want you to spend life together, because you will never, ever, ever fill your potential that God has for you doing it alone. We are better together, and we need each other. Sometimes you just want to go where everybody knows your name. Sometimes you want to go where people see that your troubles are all the same. They may be a little bit different, but it doesn't matter your income. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. It doesn't matter what path your life took. Sometimes you just want to be somewhere that people are with you and misery loves company. Am I right? But it's great that when misery loves company, that we serve a Savior who says, this is all minuscule compared to what I have for you, in store for you. I have something awesome and greatness for you. All you have to do is come to me, get forgiveness, come to others, and get strength. And that's what we want to do. So what is our number five principle? We're giving you a principle every week. You can see the last scripture verse. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You see, in this world of social media, I have 1,200 friends on Facebook. No, I don't. I can probably count on one or two hands the number of true friends I have in my life. The ones that do all this stuff, the ones that I've journeyed with that can do those things to me, that's what I have in my life. My Facebook just shows there's a lot of people that I know because Jack does never shut up like you're thinking right about now, right? Because I meet and I connect with people. And because I am, in the definition of extrovert, it's my picture. It's where it is. But I need friends who are brothers, who are ready to jack me up and say, you're doing wrong, Jack. I need people who are there to love me. I needed those friends early in my life and still today that still see a potential in me that God had given to them a long time ago. So what do we need to do? We need to make and engage with true friends, not companions. Every one of us in this room has spent way too much time in our life worrying about people who don't matter in our lives. We are more concerned about what others think about us who have a fringe appeal. We're more concerned about what our Facebook picture looks like and what we're doing than we are concerned about connecting to people who can help us grow and achieve what God has. Are you good? I'm just going to ask that today, I'm going to just ask that we close today with this, okay? We're going to close down today without a song. I'm going to just ask that you stand. I want you to stand together. We participated in communion today. And again, I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's God working out my schedule. He changes it up. And I don't want you leaving this place today without seeing a strange face. Now, that doesn't mean that they're really strange looking. That just means that it's strange to you. Even if you have to dare, God forbid, go from one side to the other side or tap somebody on the back, I want you to introduce yourself to somebody and just say, hey, my name's Jack. I'm as messed up as you are, and I guess I need you. And they get a reply. I'm as messed up as you are, and I need you too. Isn't that cool to know you're all messed up? And that we all are together in the body of Christ. So I can say to you, I'm Jack, I'm messed up, I'm a pastor because God called me to it, but I'm as equally messed up. I have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and I need you. I need you not to fill a church because I'm good with God. I'm good in my heart. I know where I'm going when I give up my breath. I know I'm going to heaven. But I'm here because I need you to make it through life. I need you to help do the work of the Lord. I need you to help connect and use your gifts, because we are one body with many parts. And there's some talented people in here, but the task of God is major. And this world needs Jesus, because as the day approaches, it gets more difficult. So I want to thank you guys for meeting together. I'm going to give you a little hint next week. Next week, here we go. Next week is double-edged, okay? We're going to talk about the Word of God. Talk about the Word of God, double-edged. And so make sure you're back for that, all right? So I'm going to just close with a prayer. Lord God, we are here today, and if there's somebody, as we changed up the service a little bit today, God, just because I feel that you just want us to spend time, not just in prayer response. If we need to do that, we're here to do that. Still, if someone needs to pray with someone, we are always available for that. But I just get a feeling, God, that you just want us to spend time getting to know somebody, just to say, hey, how you doing? Even if you're brand new and you're just checking us out and you're like, what in the world's going on in this place? You just say hi to somebody. Say, hey, God, we love you and we love the fact that you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us your Holy Spirit. You gave us others that we can do this thing called life together. Because Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Sometimes you want to go where we recognize that we struggle through the same things. We need others to lift us up. Sometimes we got to be where someone wants to hold us accountable. Sometimes we got to have somebody who tells us, pull that mask down. That's not who you are. We got to protect you. Sometimes we don't see where those areas and those coping mechanisms. We need somebody who says, hey, I see this in you, and I want to help you get rid of that blind spot. And God, today, you see the potential in each of us, and you have sown a seed of faith, I hope, in this place today. If someone does not know you and has not accepted you as their Lord, if they just don't, this whole Christianity thing is foreign to them, God, I am right here, and there'll be others who are available to pray with them, not for them, but together. And where two or three are gathered, so are you. I thank you for the service. I thank you for communion. And I thank you that as we leave here this week, that we are going to have problems, because that's going to help us lean on each other and lean on you all the more. So Jesus, fill our hearts, fill our place, and wherever we go, may we share the love of Christ. In Jesus' my name, everybody says, have a great week. Say hi.
Yes, living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my solace from the spring. That he who lives to be my king. Once died to be my savior.